Those are kind words. I appreciate that very much, and we look forward to coming and sharing the service with you this morning. Those of you who know me better know that I enjoy humor, and just recently traveling throughout our area, come across a church sign that said, God loves the fruits. Of course, they didn't know it says fruit, I guess, but fruits of the Spirit, but doesn't care so much for religious nuts. I thought I enjoyed that aspect, you know. We don't want to be a religious nut. I don't, and I'm sure you don't as well. And we want to be on fire for the Lord. That's what part of this service this morning is talking about commissioning someone to lead out in the Berea area. Brother Dwight has helped me, Donna, with him. And I want to share a message on leadership. I was going to try to get by with that. How many old ones remember years ago, thank you, when we had communion, they would take the cup and they would wipe it with the rag and turn it? We didn't believe in germs back then, I guess. But I remember that very much so. But we didn't think a thing about it. We turned that cup I don't know how many times. But somehow you avoided the germs on the edge of it, I guess. The message I want to share this morning has to do with leadership, and I want to make it applicable to all. Of course, we think obviously targeted toward Dwight and Donna as helpmeet in the area up there in Greenville. But it's a message on leadership can be applicable to many. Your current leaders, of course, and leaders yet to come. As I look across young people and younger people, and know if the Lord tarries in years to come, there'll be more leaders in the church as such. And also, I want to think of sisters, because in some circumstances, sisters are giving leadership to other women and sisters in the church, and they too can benefit by looking at leadership qualities that we see in Joshua. So with that in mind, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joshua. We'll spend most of our time this morning, just about all the time, in the book of Joshua, back and forth through it, making different points. And I knew Joshua was a great leader, but I certainly did not know how great a one until I began to study this message to share with you this morning. Turn to the very back of the book, Joshua chapter 24, verse 29 to 31. We'll come back to that toward the end of the message this morning. I'll try to keep the time in mind and not be too long for you, but referring to verses, not altogether reading everyone. But let's look at this. In verse 29 of Joshua 24, at the very end of this book, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua." Think about what that statement says. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived, or we'd say outlived, Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. That's a statement of the influence that Joshua had on the people in leadership. And of course, much of that influence was due to God being with him and doing many great works with him, such as the parting of the Jordan River. We often think of the Red Sea with Moses, and that's true, but for younger ones that may not remember, he also parted the Jordan River for Joshua. We'll come back to that later. The fall of Jericho, that tremendous effort. And then the day the sun and moon stood still. We'll come back to that, but I can't help but say, can you imagine having the courage and the faith and the belief to say, sun, stand still, moon, stand still? I mean, we think, well, I look sort of foolish to say that. And the Bible says the sun stood still for a whole day. That's a lot of faith and a lot of confidence and trust in God, and I don't know if it's ever happened since. But credit also needs to be given to Joshua, because God promised his support based on Joshua's faithful obedience to the Word of God. Now, turn completely back to the first part of Joshua, if you care to turn back with me. In chapter 1, verse 1 to 9, we'll read probably the longest length of verses we'll read, having to do with Joshua's support from God, his obedience to the word of God. Chapter 1 of Joshua, verse 1. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun," Moses' minister, or we'd say Moses' servant, "saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. All the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. For I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. From this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper with us wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And that is applicable to all of us. But this morning, Dwight and Donna, I want to encourage you and emphasize to you this passage as you launch out to a new work in the area of Berea, Greenville, that God can indeed and will indeed be with you and give you courage. There will always be pleasant times. There will be pleasant times, but there will not always be. And God can give you strength and courage. And remember Joshua, as he identified with God, he was prosperous. When he did not identify with God, he was not. I don't think we have a recording that he ever didn't identify. But he knew that that would be the outcome if he didn't do that. Joshua therefore stands before us as an example of what it takes to be a great leader. Every generation needs good leadership, especially when there's times of struggle and doubt. Anyone can lead when you're on the mountaintop experience. It's in the valley. It's when the difficult times hit a church and hit a church family. It's when leadership stands out. For those who would lead or might one day serve as leaders, Joshua serves, I think, as a very good role model. For those who would follow, he serves as an example of what we should look for in our leaders. In the message today, consider some of the qualities with me that Joshua, that made him the great leader he was. And we begin right off the bat noticing that Joshua was a man of humility. Before he was a leader, he was willing to serve. For 40 years under Moses in the wilderness, he served. It said Moses' servant Joshua. And he was known as his assistant. We see that reference in Exodus chapter 24. And to me, it's a true reflection that great leaders are people who have no problem with serving others, if that's their lot in life. I get suspicious somewhat of people who want to be at the forefront and want to be in leadership so bad that they don't know how to follow. A great leader is a great follower, serving others. It prepares one to be a leader. It's been said, and I think it's a very great truism, that a man is no more fit to lead than he is willing to follow. You ponder that and think about that. There's a lot of truth in that. God does call leadership. And we stand out as leaders at times to do what needs to be done. But we should be willing to follow as good as we should be willing to lead. Even as a leader, Joshua, we see, was willing to serve. Though he was even magnified by the Lord. Look at the expression in Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. And again, I didn't remember this until I studied it. But it's curious language to me. We wouldn't use that today. In verse 7 of chapter 3, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." There's another reference in chapter 4, verse 14. The same comment about magnifying him. But he was still willing to serve one that was greater than himself. Look at Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Here is Joshua, the leader, and he had been blessed by God to do this. Moses had endorsed it as such. And we see here in verse 13, Joshua's experience when he came into the presence of someone that he should again still serve. In verse 13 of Joshua 5, "It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand." Now, he didn't know that this was an angel. He did not know that at the time. "And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us, or are you for our adversaries?" He was prepared to fight, if need be. "And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And we see Joshua's immediate response. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. He didn't debate, said, Well, I have been magnified by God, and I don't intend to take my shoes off. Of course he shouldn't have said that, and he wouldn't have said that. He immediately showed an attitude of service and being obedient to what this angel had told him to do. You see that in great leaders. Great leaders do not let praise go to their head. All of us are human, and we have that potential as leadership. You too. But we need to make sure that we never let that go to our head. Be humble enough to know when it's time to serve once again, because great leaders are great servants. They're not the opposite. He also was a man of faith and trust in God. And we see this demonstrated that he was sent to spy out the land before the Israelites went into it. We know the story back in Numbers. 10 of the 12 spies came back and they said, Yes, it's a great land. It's a wonderful land, but we just cannot take this land over. They demonstrated their lack of faith. They said, There are giants out there. They're just men, literally are giants, and the cities are really walled, and we don't think we can do it. But despite that peer pressure, he must have felt, Joshua was just one of two, him and Caleb, who stood against that. He demonstrated his faith in God by his report. He gave a report, Yes, they're out there, but we can do this. We can overcome. I know that God can enable us to do this. He had a voice of confidence in God. Another example of his faith and trust in God is demonstrating the fall of Jericho. The Lord gave him specific instructions how to take that city. You know the story. Get the priest together. March around it 7 times. Very quiet. Nothing said. I'd like to have seen that, young man. I would have enjoyed seeing that. When these men walked around, men and women or whatever, probably just men, walked around the city as such. Quiet, not a word said as such. And then when the priest blew those ram horns, and they all raised their voice, the Bible tells us the walls of Jericho fell down. These great and magnificent walls fell down, such they were able to go into the city and take that city. He showed his willingness and faith and trust in God to take on something that looked impregnable, that seemed impossible, but he did not doubt. He went ahead. A great leader is a man of faith and trust in God. The Lord gave him those instructions, and he did the same. Only full trust and faith in the Lord could have had Joshua enabled him to do this. I don't think anything else could have happened that way. So great leaders realize they cannot place their faith in men, including themselves, probably first and foremost themselves. We place our confidence in Christ, in God, in the Holy Spirit. We must look to God. Closely related to that is another quality of Joshua that made him a great leader. He was a man of God's word. Now, we've heard that from little up. You young people and children have heard that as well as us older ones for many years. God's word, the importance of God's word. Do we really believe that? Do we act like we believe that? Do we have faith and confidence in God's word? Joshua's success was directly related to his adherence to the word of God. Directly related. To ensure that success, he had to fulfill all the laws given by Moses. And turn back to chapter 1, verse 7, yet I want to read, and 8, to reread, where God is telling Joshua, he says, Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. All the law. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left. Don't excuse it away. Don't explain it away. Well, I can do this because so-and-so did this, or our family doesn't feel it that way, or our church doesn't do it that way. Young people, listen to me. It is important that we know the Word of God and we apply it to our lives. There is no exceptions. There's no turning to the right or turning to the left. There's no excusing it away. We may try to argue the point, but there is no argument. And Joshua recognized that in verse 7. He says, I'm going to do that because I want to prosper. And in verse 8, it says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have great success. Who among us does not want to have success, whether you're young or old? Of course we want to be successful. How are we successful? As we lend ourselves to the Word of God. Don't question about it, how we lend ourselves to the Word of God. Dwight and Donna. Dwight and Donna, I've known from years past. I've known your dad real well. He's a precious friend of mine. And I know many of you miss him. And I'm sure if he could be here, he'd be giving his nod of approval. I can just see a smile on his face. Can you not? Brother Jerry, this morning, for what's happening here. Sink yourself into the Word of God. When you venture out into the communities and you go to the homes, and Donna, as you have some Bible studies over the ladies at times, when you do this, sink yourself into the Word of God. Because the Scripture is very clear to Joshua. It said, as you adhere to that, you will be prosperous. You will succeed. And that is applicable to every single one of us, young or old this morning. As we want success in life, happiness, know what the Word of God says to the issues of life we face, and then pray that we have the strength and ability to do it. It's one thing to know what's right. It's another thing to do it. We see that when Joshua was true to the Word, and I'm going to read several references without turning to for time's sake, there were 2.5 tribes, if you remember, that did not go immediately over to claim their place in Canaan. They stayed on this side of the river. Joshua came back to them in Joshua chapter 1, verse 12 to 15, and he said, now don't you forget that the Word says you're supposed to take up arms and go help the rest of your brethren have what you have. I'm paraphrasing it. He brought this memory back to them, what the Word of God had said. Another example of Joshua's devotion can be seen in Joshua chapter 11, verse 15. I will read that one verse there to bring reference to it, if you care to turn to it. Joshua chapter 11, verse 15 reads in this manner, if I my fingers to work. As the Lord commanded Moses' servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Joshua to do, commanded Moses to do, rather. Even at the end of his life, he still encouraged the nation to heed God's word. Turn to Joshua chapter 23. And I realize we're skipping back and forth, but to hope you get the context of what we're talking of this morning. Verse 6 of that chapter. This was toward the end of Joshua's life. He was still encouraging the nation to adhere to God's word. Verse 6 of chapter 23. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Christians sometimes just, I would say the word kill me, but they surprise me. It's as though we have options in life. Well, we do have options. We can choose to serve the Lord, or we can choose not to. That's frankly an option. That's a choice. With terrible consequences if we choose not to serve Him. But if we choose to serve the Lord, should not we choose to know what His Word says and then apply it to my life? The two go hand in hand. If I want salvation, if I want eternity with Christ, and I want to be there for the rest of my life with Him, I must adhere to the Word of God. And Joshua's saying the same thing. Don't turn aside from the right or to the left. To be a good leader in the home, in the community, in the church, we need to have an adherence to that. Faith comes from the Word of God. In Romans 10:17, we read, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith will make us successful in the Lord, in the work of church planting. We cannot expect to be a man or woman, a young man or a young girl of faith, without being a man or woman of God's Word. Now, closely related to being a man of God's Word is a man of prayer. A leader has prayer in his life. And we see this in Joshua's life again, praying for his people's failures. And look, if you would, in Joshua chapter 7, a few verses there to bring this point out. I mentioned it in the beginning, alluded to it at least. Joshua chapter 7, we see where Joshua was just tore up. He was so tore up and frustrated that when they went to take on this little town of Ai, after this great and magnificent work at Jericho, and then he sent out a few thousand men to take Ai, and you know the story. Achan had hid something. It was sin in the camp. And they came back defeated. Men had died. And we see the verses here in verse 6 to 9 of Joshua 7 where it reads, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, they followed his influence. They saw what he did. And they said, this is something we should be doing too. And put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan. He's complaining. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it And they'll environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, wait a minute. Paraphrasing. Wait just a minute. Get up. Wherefore liest thou dust upon thy face? And explain the circumstances and the situation. But Joshua went to God in prayer. We see him praying in the midst of warfare. Right in the middle of the warfare, when God had wanted to visit upon his enemies. And I don't understand all this, how the Old and New Testament works. I believe in non-resistance. I believe in turning good for evil, not evil for evil. The scriptures are clear on that. Christ's message was clear on that. But in the Old Testament, that was not the case. And God wanted Joshua to visit his evilness upon the people that had wounded his people. And he brought to Joshua this great war that was going on. And it was going well. And the Bible says that he brought hailstones down from the earth, or from heaven rather, that killed more men than he did in the battle. There was a great deal of people dying out there. And he wanted it to go on. I don't understand it all together, but he wanted it to go on. He wanted to completely resolve these people. And the Bible says that Joshua turned to the sun and said, stand still. Moon, stand still. The Bible says that the day lasted about a whole day. The sun was up for a whole day. Such courage. Such faith that Joshua demonstrated. If Joshua would not have been a man of prayer, the aid of the Lord would not have been provided. It would not have come through. When leaders need all the help they can get, whether in this church or Berea, wherever they may be found, they need to be men of prayer. They need to have women of prayer in support of their work, at his help meets, and sisters in the church. Finally, it should be clear from what I've related that another quality of leadership found in Joshua is that he was a man who put God first. We all have, for the most part, jobs, responsibilities, families, children, committees here, committees there, and working in the community where God has placed us. That's well and so be it. But God needs to be first in our life, before the business at hand. You know, even in the middle of a military campaign, as I referred to earlier, Joshua was committed to God's word. We see this in Joshua 8. We won't turn time to read it. But he stopped what he was doing in the middle of a military command and on some stones wrote out the law of God. The law that was given to Moses. And then he read it to all the peoples there. He took time to do all that. He took put time to put God first. And though it gave him time for his enemies, you read on in Joshua chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, you can get the feeling there that his enemies had time to collect themselves. While he was pausing for a word of prayer and a word of commitment and to bring out God's word and write it on the stones and read it in front of all, he was doing all that for the sake of the people when his enemies were having time to get together to manage to fight him more severely. Joshua put God first. And that's what we want to do as leaders in life. Easy to say across a podium, hard to do in life, putting God first. You know, in Joshua chapter 23, verse 1, it refers there as Joshua aging and waxing older. You know, he really didn't care at that point what others might do or think. Turn, if you would, to Joshua 24 as we begin to wind down the message this morning, as the Lord directs. Chapter 24, those famous words that I happen to notice is on the plaque that lies to your left up here in front of the podium. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made those statements. And Joshua 24, verse 14, reads in this manner. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity, and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. How do you think today that people still serve gods? If you don't think, you're naive. They do. Little gods. Joshua is telling people, says, put away those gods. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brother Dwight and Sister Donna, that needs to be your motto too. No matter what you experience in that community, is a church plant. To serve the Lord with all your heart. Put in Him first. Verse 16 says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. He had a positive influence. Now we know people are people. People make mistakes. We've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. But at this point in time, it said, we will serve God. We will forsake the other gods. People need to be influenced by leadership. Great leadership. Godly leadership. To point them in the right direction. Joshua had called all the people together when he made this statement. The elders, the leaders, the officials. And rehearsed to them what God had done for them earlier in chapter 24. And as I said at the end of all that, he said, that is for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now his strong influence did not end when he died. The mark, the greatest mark of a leader is what happens after you die, after you retire, after you move on. That's the greatest mark. How you influence other people. And we see that again in reference in verse 16 of chapter 24. That's not true. It's in the latter part of chapter 24, verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. They served the Lord. That's godly influence that every leader aspires to, wants to have. So in conclusion, it was the qualities such as these that made Joshua the strong leader that he was. He was a man of humility. He was a man of faith and trust in God. He was a man of God's word. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who put God first in life. And because of that, he was not alone. When he died, when he closed his eyes at 110 years of age, the elders that outlived him continued that same faithful walk of life. Now, these were not supernatural qualities that Joshua had. They weren't. But these were and they are qualities that any leader can develop if you have a mind to do so. If you have the will and the determination to be a leader for God, a man, a woman for God, a young man, a young woman for God, if you have that desire, you can have these qualities. My prayer is that God will help us to aspire us to be leaders in the church. The church needs and deserves good leadership. And we need to be part of that. Work toward that end. God may not help us to part a river or to part the Red Sea, but he has promised to help us navigate the rivers of life that we find in God's Word. He has promised to help us navigate. Recently, I was privileged to get a small fishing boat, which I've looked forward to for years, and I've only been out a couple times, and went to Lake Kiwi. I thought I had the map out. Those that know me well, I'm pretty detailed and pretty compulsive. I knew where I was going, I thought. And I thought, I'll hug this shore and I'll get down to the southern part of the lake. Before I know it, I saw this great wall of Jocassee Dam. I went the opposite direction. I thought I was going south and I was going north. And I determined I'm going to get a compass on my boat. I haven't got it yet, but I'm going to get one. We need a compass in life, young or old. Need to know when we're going north, because sometimes you can't tell in life. God has that provision for us and wants to give it to us. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your greatness and your goodness. We cannot preach emphatically enough to emphasize that, but we believe in you, Jesus. We believe in you, God. We believe in your teachings, the Ten Commandments, the Scripture, the New Testament, the words of Jesus and Paul and Peter. Lord, help us make that word a more real part of our life. Help us to apply it in our life. God, help us to be the leaders that God wants us to be as a father in a home, a husband in a family, in church leadership, community leadership, in church planting. Help us, Lord, be the leaders you want us to be. And I pray at this hour for Dwight and Donna, for their family, for Wyatt and their little one, that you would protect them from spiritual and physical, emotional harm there. God, as they have ventured out of what can be conceived as a mold, many of us have, to do something different. May the church here at Shiloh get behind them, support them spiritually and prayerfully, emotionally. I pray, God, you would send them to the homes of people who need to be sent to, that are looking for truth, who want something more in life than what they have perceived and what they've experienced so far. I pray, Lord, for guidance and wisdom on their part, for the church leadership here at Shiloh, the ministry, as they lead out in this aspect, for Stan and for the committee he represents in church planning for BMA. Give them wisdom, Lord, and understanding what to do as they approach new communities with your word. But we would ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.